Hi, my name is Archer, and today I'll be answering the question of how the use of fictional and non-fictional storytelling reflects the storyteller's morals and their drive for justice. The first part of the answer to this question will review media that shows that stories can be told to critique a system made to do justice, like the criminal justice system in the U.S. The non-fiction article, Why Rehab is Better for Heroin Addicts and Jill, explores why the incarceration of heroin users and drug users in general does not benefit the U.S. or these addicts, and thus these addicts should be sent to rehab where they can get treatment and get off this harmful drug. The article highlights that the amount of arrests because of drug abuse is the highest of any other crime, and the author says that it has caused the U.S. to have, quote, only 5% of the population on the planet, but close to 25% of its prisoners. This has made U.S. prisons very clogged, and thus made the conditions for prisoners really bad. Additionally, the article says that because the addicts do not learn any coping mechanisms to deal with their addiction in prison, the risk of relapse after being released from prison is very high. The nonfiction article, It's Time to Kill the Death Penalty, examines the deep flaws of the death penalty and why it's time to get rid of it. The article says that it does not make any sense that it is acceptable for the state to kill when it is totally unacceptable for people in the U.S. to kill. Additionally, the article talks about how poor and colored people are much more likely to be sentenced to the death penalty than a financially well-off white person. The article also talks about, quote, 4.1% of death row inmates are innocent. Season 1, Episode 1 of the podcast, Serial, shows that criminal justice system often lies about the innocent until proven guilty aspect. Serial is about the murder of Haman Lee, a high schooler, who was dating Adnan Syed, but broke up with him, and this made Adnan the prime suspect, and he was later declared guilty. The main reason that got Adnan Syed incarcerated in the first place was based on the testimony of one of his friends who claims that he was there when Adnan killed Hay, but it is known that the police offered leniency with the marijuana possession arrest if he told them that Adnan had killed Hay. Adnan Syed was clearly never innocent in the eyes of the criminal justice system, and essentially, all it took to incarcerate Adnan was one of his friends with incentive to testify against him, Lastly, the article, A Man Gets 4 Years in Prison for Transgender Slaying, is the story of a man who stabbed a man and 20 times upon realizing that he was a transgender man cross-dressing as a woman and only got a 4-year prison sentence because of the gay panic plea. This story is yet another example of a time that the criminal justice system did not serve its role and did not do justice. This article argues that after 4 years after stabbing someone 20 times is way too little and shows the inequality inside of the criminal justice system. The second part of the answer to this question is that people tell stories to show their views on discrimination and racism within society. The article, if Man Gets 4 Years in Prison for Transgender Slaying, comes up again here as it relates to the idea, because the author expresses the idea on how the whole idea of the gay panic plea is just an excuse for violence against queer people. For the queer community that goes through so much in their day-to-day lives to only see someone who has stabbed a member of their community 20 times get 4 years in prison is outrageous. A Time to Kill tells the story of Carly Haley, a man that killed 2 white men who raped his daughter because he was afraid that they would get off scot-free. Carly Haley is to be defended by Jake, a white lawyer whose family is in extreme danger throughout the story due to the KKK. The story portrays that racism in the South, even later on in the 20th century, was so horrible that white supremacist organizations like the Ku Klux Klan made it impossible to defend a black man as the organization tried to harm your friends and family. Through the heroic and brave characterization of Jake and the 2 white rapists and members of the KKK being characterized as drunk, illiterate, and violent people, it is shown that the author believes that discrimination against blacks need to stop. Dry September is a short story about a white man named Will who hears about an untrue rumor that a black man raped a white woman and decides to try to lynch the black man even if he happens to be innocent. This story represents the height of racism in the United States in the 20th century, as people like Will believe that the word of a white person was superior to the word of a black person, and even believe that a black man should be killed and used as an example of what happens when a black person messes with a white person. The author represents his opinion by portraying the woman who claimed that the black man raped her as insane. When her friends take the woman to movies to calm her down, she randomly starts laughing uncontrollably. A person that has been raped will likely feel exploited and scared, rather than and uncontrollable laughter is not an appropriate response to the situation she claims to have been in. Additionally, a person from Will's crew that is trying to kill the black man says, quote, kill him, kill the son, showing their extreme aggression for not only the black man, but also his family. The third part of the answer to this question is that stories can be told to show that storytellers believe that one should be willing to risk their lives and make sacrifices for justice to prevail, but not for selfish reasons. Maggot Moon tells the story of a dyslexic 12-year-old boy named Standish who lives under an unforgiving and repressive governmental regime, which recently claims to have sent men to the moon. But Standish knows that the moon landing is a hoax and sets off on a dangerous adventure to prove to everyone living under the regime that the moon landing is a hoax. Despite Standish's dyslexia, which ends up getting him kicked out of school, Standish is willing to risk his life to prove to everyone that in the regime that that the regime that they live under is corrupt. The author portrays Stanish to be extraordinarily brave, as despite his best friend and parents being taken away by the oppressive regime, he is still extremely confident in his ability, as he says that, quote, "Doubt is a great worm in a crispy red apple, showing that his belief in himself is unwavering. Stanish knows that it is very likely that he will die on this journey, but he believes that the change that can occur from his actions is worth more than his life." A Time to Kill also depicts Jake's determination for proving that a black man can win a trial in Mississippi. Despite numerous attempts from the KKK to set his house on fire and hurt his loved ones, Jake continues. His house even gets blown up, and all of his friends and family tell him to drop the case. When his mother's house gets attacked, and she tells him to, quote, "do everyone a favor," and, quote, "drop the case." But he replies that he can't quit, and that if he quits now, quote, "all this, his sacrifices, will be for nothing." Eventually, Jake pulls off the impossible and wins the case for Carly Haley, which shows that perseverance and making sacrifices for the pursuit of justice is rewarded. The podcast 10,000 Feet in the Air provides an alternative look to the idea that people should be willing to risk their lives in order for justice to prevail. The story is told from the perspective of a man who tells a story about how he had hijacked a plane and threatened to shoot the flight attendants if he did not get $500,000. However, upon obtaining this money, he loses it on his descent down and later gets caught by the police and is sentenced to life in jail. In this scenario, the plane hijacker was willing to risk his life for his goal of receiving $500,000, as he was aware that there was a large search crew trying to kill him to get the people on the plane to safety, but because of his selfish interest, he was not able to attain what he wanted, and justice prevailed as he was caught by the police and did not receive the money he wanted. Life of Pi is the story of an Indian boy whose father owns a zoo in India. They're on a boat to Canada with Pi's family and a couple of animals from the zoo when their boat sinks and the only survivors are Pi, a tiger, and a few other animals. Soon enough, the only ones left are Pi and a ferocious tiger, and the book is about Pi's survival. Throughout the story, Pi has to make several sacrifices, including giving up on his vegetarian lifestyle and eating fish and sharing all of his food with a ferocious tiger named Richard Parker. These sacrifices that Pi made was not only help Pi survive, but also help the tiger that was living on the boat with him survive, and eventually they were both rescued and saved. The final part of this podcast explores the idea that storytellers express their ideas based on moral responsibilities for people in certain roles and situations through their stories. Earlier in January, I was at a debate tournament and watched a particularly interesting debate between two freshmen arguing about whether it's just for the U.S. to give military assistance to authoritarian regimes. One of the debaters argued that military aid can create more terrorism in these regimes and that the U.S. should spend this money on themselves, while the other argued that providing military assistance to these regimes benefits the economy of these developing countries. These topics are debated to figure out whether or not it is more moral responsibility of the U.S. to help out other countries in need, or whether we should just focus on bettering the quality of life for those in our country. Additionally, the topic is being debated to figure out whether or not our aid actually benefits these countries, or rather just exacerbates conflict. The short film Do No Harm tells the story of a team of doctors working on a very critical operation when gangsters break in and try to kill the man they are operating on. One doctor fights back against the gangsters, and when they warn her and ask her why she's protecting him so carefully, she just says, "He is my patient." Later, we learn that the man was holding the doctor's daughter from her until she was saved, and then they release her daughter. This story shows that the author believes that it is the moral responsibility of doctors to protect their patient in no matter what, as the doctors that try to protect their lives over the lives of their patient are portrayed as weak and cowardly, whereas the doctor that did everything to save her patient is portrayed as brave, strong, and heroic. Additionally, the author believes that it is the moral responsibility of the mother of the daughter to try to save her daughter. This is seen by the mother going to operate on a man that abducted her daughter to save her daughter from harm's way. The novel True Legend tells the story of Drew, one of the best basketball players in the nation, who knows he's going to end up in the NBA and just needs to pass school somehow. That is when he meets Urban Legend, a man who is amazing at basketball but ended up wasting his talent because of his ego. Urban Legend warns Drew that he could end up the way that Urban did, and at first, Drew neglected this idea but soon realizes his similarities to Urban and starts putting 100% on and off the court. In this novel, the author shows that the most successful people always try their hardest in everything and that they do, and they never take anything for granted. At first, Drew is characterized to be egotistical, lazy off the basketball court, and extremely privileged, but at the end is characterized to be humble and driven on and off the basketball court. Similarly to Do No Harm, in which it is the doctor's moral responsibility to take care of her patient and daughter no matter what, in True Legend, it is Drew's responsibility to make sure that he gives 100% in everything that he does so his talent is not wasted the way Urban's was. Overall, the storyteller's views on moral responsibility in certain roles, discrimination within societies, ideas about flaws in systems like the criminal justice system, and ideas about sacrifices and risks needed for justice to prevail come out through storytelling.